Turn the mics on. There we go.
There we go.
We're going to lay this over for inclusion in the omnibus bill. However, House staff has informed us that because of the single subject rule, this actually has to travel alone. So, Madam Chair, I'd appreciate if a member could pull it off the table and refer it to the Rules Committee whenever the time is appropriate.
Representative Beard, were you going to hang with us for just a minute? I don't see the bill in our packet.
I'm going to. Madam Chair, there's a couple stacks right here. That wouldn't be it, would it?
It should be in there.
It's in our pack.
Thank you. And there should be a delete all amendment to it, if anybody knows the letters in the upper right hand corner.
805-0665.
All right. We'll move to take House File 2086 off the table, and then if you'll explain the 0665 delete all amendment, we would appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. And members, as the bill stands after it was amended and laid on the table last time, it did include language that many of us are sympathetic to about the prohibition of public meetings behind an airport security perimeter area. The Senate file does not contain that language, and the governor's office has expressed strong reservations about putting that in statute at this time. And so the delete all amendment has the bill as it was laid over without the airport security perimeter language in it. Basically, what the bill does is codify staggered terms that the governor has already put into play. It puts some residency requirements on members of the Metropolitan Airport Commission, similar to what we as legislators and Met Council members also already live with. It puts the Senate, or the Senate confirmation of the chair of the MAC will become effective after the next gubernatorial election. And the fourth thing it does is it the reports that the MAC makes to the legislature are moved from February 15th to March 30th. So we give them another 6 weeks to come over and see us, or give us 6 weeks to get our act together and have them come over. And it gives a little more clarification of what those reports contain. And that is the bill. That is the delete all amendment. I'd appreciate its passage to put the bill into shape.
All right. Thank you, members. Are there any questions on the 0665 amendment? All those in favor of the 0665 delete all amendments, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Is there anybody in the audience who would want to speak in favor of House File 2086 as amended or in opposition to? Seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 2086 as amended be referred to the committee on rule. I'm sorry, Representative Larson.
Well, Madam Chair, we've got a lot of work to do today, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this issue, but this is an example, quite frankly, of how the Metropolitan Airports Commission and the administration on this matter has it their way or the highway. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of folks getting really frustrated with how the folks that run the airport operate. And a simple provision that came forward because of compromise that occurred in the previous committee just isn't good enough, so that we can have folks that can find their way to a public hearing without having to take off their shoes and their belt and everything else to go through a federal security perimeter. I think is shameful for the administration and the Metropolitan Airports Commission to put up this kind of effort. I've heard on the one hand it's no big deal, and then every time the issue comes up, 15 lobbyists walk in the room to work the issue. And I'm getting tired of it. And I'm expressing that, obviously, and I'm going to keep it short. But, you know, at some point, the dog's going to bite off the tail. And I guess time will have to wait for that. But there's a lot of us that are extremely frustrated.
Thank you, Representative Larson. Are there any additional comments? Representative Hornstein.
Madam Chair, I would just, not much more I can add to what Representative Larson said. I strongly agree with him. And I just really hope that perhaps outside of the legislative process, we can really get some commitments from MAC on this, that they at least address our concerns and have some of the major meetings that involve our communities, particularly when it comes to noise, outside of of this boardroom situation that Representative Larson talked about, where you have to go through security. So I hope, even though we're disappointed in this bill, I really hope that MAC has gotten a message through the at least the earlier versions of this bill, Representative Beard, that this is a huge concern for us, and we hope our concerns will be addressed.
Thank you. Representative Beard?
Thank you, ma'am and members. Message heard and received by this legislator, but I'm going to take baby steps where I can, and we'll just remember. There's institutional memory, Representative Hornstein, Representative Larson, and we'll just keep pressing. And I'd really appreciate your support. Thank you, members.
All right, thank you. I will renew my motion that House File 2086, as amended, be recommended pass and refer to the Committee on Rules. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
The motion is passed. You're on your way to rule. Thank you, Representative Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We will now work on House File 2461, the Transportation Finance Omnibus Bill, and checking with Committee Administrator Ms. Gervin. She informed me that there was no one that had asked to testify on the bill as a whole, but rather on amendments. We are going to try and finish this bill before 3 o'clock. We have about 25 amendments. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify for or against the bill in general at this point? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to amendments. The first amendment, the majority of the amendments in your blue packet are in numerical order, and then they've been passing out amendments on top of that as well. The first amendment that we'll take is an amendment that I believe Representative Earhart's bringing forward, and that is the 0580 amendment. I'll give members a minute to find that amendment. I don't have it.
I just had 0-5.
Okay, members, have you found the amendment in your packet? I only have I have A1 through 20 in my packet. I don't appear to have any additional ones in my packet, so.
Right.
Members, do you have the 0580 in your packets? All right.
Where's the back?
I'm to the back, and I have 20 at the back. So, whoops. All right.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't have any.
0580, yep.
Okay. I found
you found yours? Okay.
Yeah.
Representative Magnus, did you find yours? All right, good. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to amend the House File number 1152 to 2461 as the bill we're attaching this to. So that would be an amendment.
Okay, members on page 1, line 1, delete 1152 and insert 2461. We'll incorporate that into the amendment.
Okay. And what this bill amendment does, Madam Chair, is make 69 personnel of the Highway Patrol essential employees. They're now radio communications operators or dispatchers. They're the only ones in the state who are not considered essential employees. And all the rest were made so in 1995, and we feel for the safety and health of the people that they serve, which are you and I, they ought to be skilled operators doing the job, and we need to keep them on the job no matter what. So that's the amendment.
All right, are there any questions on the 0580 amendment? Somebody in the aisle, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, I think Mr. Williams has got a concern about.
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Williams.
The page and line reference needs to be corrected in the amendment. It should go on page 77, after line 3, and the section number should be section 46.
Okay, members, the changes then would be on page 1, line 2, delete 74, insert 77.
Yeah.
Delete 21 and insert 3.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
To the amendment, I'd just like to ask Mr. Representative Earhart if we've heard this in committee this year.
Representative Earhart.
It's been, Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, heard in committee, it was passed out to committee, it's on the general register.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Anybody in the audience like to speak to this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 0580 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Amendment's adopted. All right. The next item on the agenda is Amendment 0649, Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Been requested by Representative Cole, who represents that area, to bring this amendment forth, dealing with State Highway 264 in Benton Lake. The amendment would allow the improved portion of that to qualify for the wetland replacement program under the statutes that identify that. I've talked to Madam Chair and board members. Committee members. I've talked to the Board of Soil and Water last night and again this morning. They support the bill, so I don't know of any opposition to it.
Are there any questions for Representative Magnus? Representative Housman.
Madam Chair, it might just be helpful, just given the question on the first one, if with each of these we could reference, was it our bill, did it get a hearing in the appropriate committee or whatever, just to give up the history on each of these so we don't have to ask the question.
Right. Certainly. Representative Magnus, do you know if there was a bill on this? I do not know that.
I don't, that I don't know.
What I can tell you is that...
There is a bill, it's House File 2279, there is a bill.
Okay, and Ms. Goddard tells me that it's on the general register, and we did receive an email from a representative from Bowser explaining the situation. They're not sure that we even need this, but they're trying to get it in place. Chair Osment is aware of it, is in support of it, and so there appeared to be no opposition to it. Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not that I'm opposing it, but I would just like to ask Mr. Williams a question.
Certainly.
Mr. Williams, in this wetland banking, is that specific, the state bank banking for mitigation, is that specific to highways? And I see this is a trail. Does that come out of that state bank for highways?
Mr. Williams.
Madam Chair, Representative Leader, I'm not sufficiently knowledgeable in wetland law to be able to answer that immediately.
Representative Leader, my understanding of this is that there is a trail that runs along a highway. In order to accommodate the trail and the highway altogether, there has to be some wetland mitigation in order for that to be accomplished.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand that. My concern is I know that we use trunk highway monies to establish a statewide bank of wetlands for mitigation. It appears to me this is under the control of the DNR or someone else, because whether specific to... I think Representative Magnus said it was Trunk Highway 264. It says 284 in the amendment. But I was concerned that we're probably setting a precedent if we're taking it out of the Trunk Highway mitigation banks rather than if the wetlands have their own DNR as their own bank. Because I think there's a limited amount of wetland mitigation acreage available. That's my concern. I don't have any objection to the bill. I'm just kind of concerned where it's coming from.
Yeah. All right. Representative Magnus, as long as you don't have the answers that Representative Leader is looking for, we'll lay 0649.
Madam Chair, no, that's fine.
Okay. We'll work on it before we go to taxes and make sure that your concerns are addressed. Anybody else like to speak in favor or opposition to the 649 amendment? Seeing none, any additional questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The 649 amendment is adopted. The next amendment that we're going to take up is the A5 amendment. And this has to do with Representative Westrom's bill that had the six-axle 88,000-pound livestock hauler provision. And MnDOT had requested that these exemptions be delayed until August 1st of 2006 because they're doing the weight exemption study, and so it's pretty technical in nature. Are there any questions? Anybody like to speak for or against the A5 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A5 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. A5 amendment is adopted. Representative Ruth, would you like to move the 0662 amendment?
Yes, I'll move 662, Madam Chair. And this is with the deputy registrars. It would provide a person's license could be suspended if when they...
Representative Ruth, that...
This is dealing with the deputy registrars, and basically it's if they get a check that bounces, they would like to be able to suspend the driver's license. The deputy registrars are increasingly having trouble with this in the driver's license, and currently they already have this that they're able to do on the license tab. You would just like to extend that to the driver's license.
I'd
appreciate your support.
Members, are there any question on the 0662 amendment?
Oh, 06, you got the wrong one.
Yeah, you haven't found it yet. Basically what it does is it extends the same provision that's allowed for tabs, that if there's a bounce check and it's not made good within a specific period of time, that they can suspend the license like they do the tabs. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against this amendment? Representative Housen.
Just an observation. If we're hearing from the department that this is an increasing problem, it's probably an early signal to us that we're laying off some teeth to the poorest people who can't afford to pay them, and obviously that's who's getting affected by this. Just an observation.
Any additional comments or questions on the 0662 amendment? Seeing none, Representative Ruth renews her motion to amend the 0662 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The 0662 amendment is adopted. Okay. And the next amendment we're going to do is the JW131 amendment. This is technical in nature. We referenced some of the changes that would need to be made in the bill when we heard the bill on Tuesday. This changes the numbers to address the issues that Mr. Walls brought to our attention. Strictly technical in nature. Any questions? All those in favor of the JW131 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The 131 amendment is adopted. Okay, Representative Ruth, do you want to do the JW136 amendment, which is the hybrid vehicle?
Is it?
132,
I think. I just have to find it.
Okay. Yep, I'm sorry. It's the JW132 amendment.
And this is the, I think we've heard it before, members. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the hybrid vehicle that they would be allowed to drive on the HOV lines without a charge. And there is a fiscal note of about $14,000. I don't know if we have that included. Madam Chair, Mr. Walls, do we have that for everyone, the fiscal note? I'm not sure if that got distributed.
Ruth, it's the... The fiscal note was not distributed. I'm sorry. There was the only when we heard this before, there was a question about the $15 fee and where that $15 fee would go. The $15 fee will go into the special fund to pay for the actual distribution of the stickers, et cetera. And then any excess will go to the special revenue account that's dedicated to that that HOV, the hot lane on 394.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, the estimate would be there would be 150 vehicles at the $15, which, of course, is $2,250. This does expire July 31st, 2007, so that brings it to the $13,350, approximately $14,000.
All right, is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to the JW132 amendment? Any questions by committee members? Representative Abrams.
Madam Chair, I still remain concerned that these hybrid vehicles are being sold for greater than even the manufacturer's suggested retail price. I saw a report on CNN in which people are now speculating in hybrid vehicles, and they're buying them, and then they're selling them used for more than they pay for them. And I don't know why we have to encourage people to buy something that is already in short supply, and people are, quite frankly, being gouged whenever you pay more than manufacturer's suggested retail price for an automobile. So I don't know why we need a new incentive. I disagree with my governor.
Representative Abrams, I share your concerns and more. It's not my intent to support this amendment, but Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, this is the governor's initiative, and we're looking at approximately 600 hybrid vehicles right now, and of course we want to encourage people to buy them because of environmental reasons, and also it's great gas mileage, so pays for itself. Appreciate your support.
Thank you. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to speak in favor of the JW132 amendment. I know there were some concerns raised about the fact that in Virginia, similar legislation resulted in a lot of use of the lane there. I think we have a different setup than Virginia in terms of use of these lanes and demand for them, but I think the sunset provision should allay any concerns that people have, and I think it's worth a try. It's just for a year. I think the governor's on the right track, and at least what this would do is send a message that the state of Minnesota does appreciate its citizens taking a good, hard look and incenting them to purchase vehicles that eliminate air tailpipe emissions by anywhere from 50 to 90% and double gas mileage on average from traditional vehicles. And so anything, I think, that will show folks that maybe perhaps they can make a contribution to our energy independence and the environment is a good thing. So I'm with the governor on this one, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Are there any additional comments? Anybody in the audience like to speak for or against this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
Motion is not adopted. The next amendment that we'll take is the 685 amendment. This relates to the city of Orr. I don't know who wanted to offer that amendment. Representative Bill did talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Representative Larson, are you going to offer the 0685 amendment?
Yes,
as soon as I find it.
I will move the 0685 amendment. This is an issue that we had extensive debate about in the Transportation Policy Committee. Representative Dill has a safety problem as it relates to the speed of train through the city of Orr. They would like to have a slowing of that speed limit as it passes through that city, and this seems like a reasonable accommodation for to help Representative Dill and safety in the city of Orr.
Right, thank you. And members, for those of you that aren't on the policy committee, this was a bill that was introduced. It was Representative Dill had a pretty extensive presentation in policy where he showed us video pictures and explained how this rail line goes right past some hazardous materials, schools, at speeds generally around 60 miles an hour. And so he's asked that we bring this forward in this bill to continue to discuss the issues. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak for or against the 685 amendment? Okay, seeing none, any questions from committee members? Seeing none, all those in favor, Representative Larson renews his motion for the 685 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is adopted. Thank you. And the next amendment that we'll take is the A6 amendment. Members, a number of years ago, there was a bill introduced very late in the session on this, and it was not heard in committee. A number of years ago, we implemented a provision that we hoped would become a tool for local units of government to advance fund projects and then be paid back with interest from MnDOT at the time that the project would actually come up for funding by MnDOT. As you can see in the language that is stricken on the amendment, we set up a particular level of interest being the actual interest paid by the road authority in borrowing for the amount advanced or the amount earned by the state and invested by the Commissioner of Finance for the month before that date. And what's happening is that that's a very low, the amount of interest that the finance department's getting on their investments is very low, lower than what the interest rate is, and so we're putting in language at this point to have a mutually agreed upon interest rate between the Commissioner of Transportation and the local party that would advance the funds. I'm hoping for some language that will be more objective in nature, tying it to the prime rate or something, but I would like the committee's support in at least moving this forward to the tax committee and see if we can get better language, but get a tool that has actually worked. Since the language was passed into law, nobody has taken advantage of this tool, given the disparity between the two levels of interest rates. Any questions? Seeing none, is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak for or against the A6 amendment? All right, all those in favor of the A6 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A6 amendment is adopted. Let's see. There is an A10 amendment about MnDOT buildings. I don't have a name associated with that. Does anybody want to claim the A10 amendment? Representative Hausman?
Madam Chair, I think this was, I didn't know that this amendment was coming, but this was the discussion in the bonding committee, I think. Initially, the House had it in its bill and the Senate didn't because they preferred to pass it in this bill. Is that, I have a feeling that that's what this is relating to. The question was whether it should go forward in the bonding bill or in this bill, and the Senate preferred, or the Senate was moving it in this bill.
Representative Hausman, I don't know who put the A10 amendment here. In the, my understanding, in the House bonding bill, they used general fund bonds to fund some of these projects as opposed to trunk highway bonding. I did not include any trunk highway bonding in this bill as introduced. If you want to claim the A10 amendment and move it, fine. If not, I'm going to move on.
Well, Madam Chair,
Representative Earhart,
is there anybody that's in the place that knows if, for instance, that exterior repair of the transportation building is being taken care of so it doesn't fall on somebody's head? Or?
Representative Earhart, the exterior of the MnDOT building was not funded in the general bonding bill.
Okay.
Representative Hausman.
Well, I'm a little confused that there wouldn't have been some communication because it's true that the House bill and the Senate bonding bills were different, but then in conference committee on this particular issue, it was not included as the in the way that, the, I mean, the Senate position prevailed there, and the Senate at the time, Senator Langstaff said they were carrying that forward in the transportation bill, so... I don't know, you know, what the issues are relative to your targets, but I certainly would, just knowing that that seemed to be the decision by all of the parties in the bonding committee. Would if you're just looking for someone to move it, I would.
Well, Representative Hausman, either somebody's going to move the A-10 amendment or we're going to move on. I chose not to put trunk highway bonding in the bill. If you as a committee member want to move this, that's fine, but we need to make a decision and keep moving here.
No, I think I'm going to move this.
Okay. Representative Hausman moves the A-10 amendment. Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, if these projects are to be inserted in the bill, the motion should probably include direction to staff to include the appropriate debt service in the appropriation. There is currently money set aside on the bottom line that can be used to pay for debt service of these projects that was included in the governor's bill. However, that was not included in the appropriation in the House bill because the House bill did not fund these projects.
Representative Hausman, do you want to incorporate that into the A-10 amendment?
Thank you.
All right. Any questions on the A-10 amendment? Anybody in the audience like to speak for or against the A-10 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A-10 amendment say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay.
No.
The A-10 amendment is not adopted. The next amendment would be, let's see, there's all kinds of fun stuff here. How about the A-15 amendment? It deals with a bill of Representative Nelson that Representative Solberg was here and the paper company and the weight limits.
I'll move that amendment, Madam Chair.
Representative Abrams will move. 15. Let's see, I lost my paper. The A-15 amendment. Representative Abrams.
Well, Madam Chair, this was the amendment to make the Blandon paper facility more successful, and there'll be special equipment that's brought in. Senator Oberstar, for Senator, Representative Oberstar has got money to deal with a variety of road projects up in northern Minnesota that are able to handle these vehicles. I think that the controversy was taken out of the bill by Representative Nelson, Representative Solberg, and I would solicit your support.
Thank you, Representative Abrams. Any questions on the A-15 amendment? Representative Hausman.
I think just to clarify, there was some misunderstanding after that was heard, and some people thought we were also dealing with length and not just the issue of weight distribution. I have been told since then that's not the case. We were not making any exceptions. This would be the same as, for example, the FedEx trucks that currently go on that same stretch of road, so it's not an exception to length.
Right, and Mr. Williams, when I talked to the bill author and Representative Solberg, expressed a concern about extending these exceptions statewide and asked that they draft the amendment so that it only addressed the Blandon issue on those particular roads. And I'm wondering, with Subdivision 2 in this amendment, did they
Madam
do that?
Madam Chair, on page 2, lines 8 through 12, there are geographic restrictions on the three vehicle combinations, limiting them to three specific highways. On page 2, lines 32 to 33, there is language relating to the two vehicle combinations that would have the effect of limiting them to the same highways.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. Are there any additional questions on A-15? Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak for or against the A-15 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Amendment is adopted. Okay, Representative Hortstein, is the A-16 amendment yours?
Yes.
Would you like to offer that at this time?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. This is simply related to the MVEST distribution. I think in the current bill we have it at 70-28 or 70-30 highways and transit. This just moves it back to I think the governor's targeting, which was 60-40. And I offer this out of my concern for the impact of the not only the transit cuts but the long-term viability of transit. I know we're going to get more into that in Rabbi. I always call people Rabbi. I called Representative Abrams Rabbi last time. Representative Larson's amendment. All the religion in the news has gotten to me. So anyhow, a 60-40 split, there's no, I think people are pretty familiar with this, and I don't need to get into the
All right, detail. Thank you. Representative Abrams.
I'm sure Representative Hornstein, on line 15, you've taken care of it from 2003 to 2005, and then you go down to D, and it's 2007 to 2008. What happens between June 30th, 2005 and July 1st, 2007?
Thank you very much, Representative Abrams. That is a very good point. I would ask Mr. Williams to take a crack at that.
Madam Chair, that's a drafting error left over from a previous version of this bill. The amendment should read on page 1, line 15, reinstate the stricken language and delete the underlined language so that the existing allocation of motor vehicle sales tax revenue continues through fiscal 07. The new allocation would begin in fiscal 08 as provided on page 1, line 24.
Thank you, Ms.
And you'll incorporate that?
Yes, I'd like to incorporate that.
All right. Officially. Representative Hausman.
I wonder if we could ask Metropolitan Council. We tried to fix this the other day, and they didn't like our approach, and I would be interested if they have some advice for us on this approach.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Diaz. Welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
Nacho Diaz, Metropolitan Council. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, our position is clearly that we support the governor's proposal of a 60-40 formula between transit and highways, with 38% of the 40 going to Metropolitan Transit at the end of the ramping up and 2% going to Greater Minnesota. I think, I mean, to just give you a little bit of the context, in addition, of course, to supporting the governor's position, I want to also make the comment that at the present time, based on our budget challenges, really, we need about 25 to 26% of invest to keep the existing system. So if the ultimate outcome is 28%, really, there is really no room for any expansion. And I think the governor's proposal is a very balanced, a very fair proposal, and we clearly are in favor of it.
And so, Madam Chair, in this instance, I would support the governor's position, and I think what he has understood is that there is, in fact, still some opportunity for expansion projects in the Trunk Highway Fund in 2006 and 2007, but the impact on this budget doesn't even maintain the existing system. So it strikes me that it was the governor's way of kind of sharing the pain and carrying forward at least basic service in this instance, and I would support the amendment.
Thank you, members. I'll speak against the A16 amendment in that our bill has structured some bonding and additional items based on the 70-30 split, and I don't know if there's any additional questions or comments of members. Anybody else in the audience like to speak to the A16 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion is not accepted. Certainly. There's been a request for a division. All those in favor of the A16 amendment? Those opposed? Let's say that was a 6-4 vote. My ears were good that time. And Representative Hornstein, there was also an A2 amendment that was similar in nature. Do you want that offered as well, or?
Okay. It's pretty much the same. I don't know if. I think at this point I'll withdraw it. I think okay. We had our discussion and vote on it.
Okay. So members, we will not consider the A2 amendments today. All right. There's the amendment 0662. It relates to the Dimmler amendment. I don't know if anybody wants to offer that. This was an issue that Representative Junkie brought to my attention.
Madam Chair, I'll move that amendment.
I'm sorry, it's the JW136 amendment.
Oh,
in my packet, it's right after the A21 amendment. That'll be the 136 amendment. Representative Leader.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the JW136 amendment.
Right, and if you'd like to explain it to the committee, please.
Actually, what this amendment does, it makes certain that the Dimler effect or the Dimler law applies to the new statutes we have whereby MnDOT can raise some two-lane highways to a higher speed limit. This still keeps a maximum of 65, so it would those roads that the MnDOT checked out and would raise the speed limit to 60 miles an hour, it would provide that the Dimler amendment applies up to 65 miles an hour, just as it does on 55 mile an hour. This does not apply to CDLs, it's just the other Class D licenses.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions on the 136 amendment?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative Leader, you said 65 or do you mean 60? It says 60 in the bill. You said 65 just, and I'm just wondering if there's some language here to designate 65, up to 65.
Representative
Anderson. Oh, in excess, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. Representative Anderson, that it's for the ones that would be 60, that have to be a 60 mile road, because the Dimler amendment would apply up to 65.
Got it. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Any additional questions or comments on the 136 amendment? Anybody in the audience like to speak to the 136 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The 136 amendment is adopted. The next item is you should have just been passed out the A99 amendment, the shorter piece of paper with a handwritten A99 in the upper right-hand column. I'm informed by MnDOT that they need this language in order to put the transponders on the windshields of the cars that are using the hot lanes. This is language that was included in the amendment that Representative Ruth had that we defeated, so this would allow for the transponders in the cars using the hot lane to be located so that they will function. Are there any questions? Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak for or against? All those in favor of the A99 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A99 amendment is adopted. Okay, members, next we're going to go to the A23 amendment. That was not in your original packet, but passed out at the beginning of the meeting. And that's Representative Abrams' amendment.
Madam Chair and members, this bill does include a possible gas tax increase. And, you know, as I go around, what I hear from my constituents is that they're upset by the high price of gas. And there's very little a state legislature can do about that. One thing deals with the rate of tax, and the other, in Minnesota, a couple years ago, the legislature enacted a law that has retail price maintenance of gasoline, which in effect has kept the price of gas a little bit higher than it would be if we allowed stations to compete. So what the A23 amendment is to maybe give our constituents a little break here and have a little bit of competition in the selling of gasoline in the state of Minnesota, rather than having state employees going around checking out unfair price allegations. They can make sure that the quality of the gas is good and that it's pumping correctly, et cetera. Came up rather late because I didn't even know that Department of Public Service was even enforcing this law until there was a news report, I think, last week on this. And this is an opportunity to give our constituents an even break.
Thank you. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Abrams, thank you for offering this amendment. I strongly support this. I opposed the law when it passed that provided the that took away the marketplace, frankly, in this area, and I think this would be a real strong feature of this bill.
All right, Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'd just like to have the committee recall why this was passed. I didn't introduce, but I remember in the passage of the bill, the reason was for that basically the city of Alexandria, a Walmart was coming in there and putting in a service station, and that was the rationale behind it. That area was really concerned. The local small business dealers in fuel were concerned that Walmart's going to come in and they were establishing the service station. I just wanted to give them some a reason why the bill was passed in the first place.
All right. Are there any questions on the A23 amendments? Is anybody in the audience would like to speak for or against the A23 amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A23 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A23 amendment is adopted.
Nay.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Do they have the
All right, members, the next one we'll do is the A24 amendment. This has to do with the milk haulers. Representative Magnus said that we'll move the A24 amendment to the dairy farmers, and this extends the sunset on transporting milk, the weight restriction on that. It's the A24 amendment. The sunset was in 2003, so we're going to 2007. This was an issue brought forward by Representative Erickson. Do you all have the A24 amendment? Okay, are there any questions? Does anybody like to speak for or against the A24 amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A24 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The A24 amendment is adopted. All right, members, you're getting the A100 amendment being passed out. This has to do with collector plates, and I believe Representative Anderson has that. Coming right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is brought to me by a constituent who has a one of four cars in the state of Minnesota, one of only 94 cars actually manufactured in the whole nation, and he's asking his car to be placed in the collector vehicles section of the statute right now. And if you have questions for the gentleman, he's here today. He could speak more eloquently to the bill if you have questions regarding this.
All right, are there any questions on the A100 amendment? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the A100 amendment? Ms. McCormick? Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, my name's Pat McCormick, Director of Driver and Vehicle Services, and with me is Tom Evans, the Special Plate Supervisor. And we're not speaking in opposition, but we have some concerns with the way that it is drafted. It would make us have to revise our entire collector plate program. So I'll let Mr. Evans speak to those issues.
All right. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Evans.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Tom Evans. I'm the supervisor for the special plate unit. And our concerns about the collector, about expanding the collector class to these types of vehicles, it would affect a very small amount of owners. And also, we don't have... As I know right now, I don't think we would have a way to determine whether or not they would qualify for this. I believe in just glancing at this, it would be self-certifying whether or not the vehicle would meet the criteria for having less than 500 imported or produced.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Evans, would there be a way to make this so that it would fit within the guidelines of the
Department of Vehicle Services that would be, you know, advantageous or work with your records?
Mr. Evans.
Madam Chair, Representative, I was thinking along the lines of our classic plate program, mm-hmm. which specifically identifies vehicles that qualify for that plate. In statute, certain vehicles of a high make and model are classified as classic vehicles, and I thought maybe it would be better if we expanded that to include this type of vehicle then. You know, if they're such a high quality and make that only four of them are ever made, then maybe they would be better off in the classic car category, which would, of course, require an amendment to that part of the statute.
Right.
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, I guess I'd like to have the gentleman who has the concern here to just bring it forward and explain his position on the reason for a collector's plate license.
Mr. Olson, if you'll state your name for the record, please.
Thank you very much. My name is Joe Olson. I'm from Roseville. I own a 928 GTS, which is a car that was introduced in 1992. They made 196 in 92, 193, 194, and 94 in 1995. I happen to own a 1995 vehicle. The gentleman is correct in that the bill puts the primary burden on the individual to make the certification, which of course is made in an affidavit. Is subject to checking by the department after the individual comes in. We're not going to be concerned with a large number of vehicles here, and it seems to me that putting the burden on the owner in the first place to certify that the car is under 500 alleviates the burden of the unit quite substantially. They have very few cars that they would need to audit. If they wish to put a requirement that you should bring a letter from the manufacturer that states that there were fewer than 500 made or imported in that given year, that would seem to solve the problem as well.
All right, thank you, Mr. Olson. Representative Anderson, do you mind if you lay this on the table for a while and see if
sure.
you get something that works for the department
yes.
and continue to work on it with that?
Appreciate
Representative Anderson lays the A-100 amendment on the table. The next one that we'll do is the A-22 amendment, I believe, Representative Anderson. This is the Support Our Troops license plate. Were you going to move that? Or I can't remember. The A-22 amendment, the Support Our Troops.
Oh, yes, Madam Chair. This is a governor's proposal. Am I right on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yes, Madam Chair. A-22. I think that there have been it was carried by Representative Severson, and there have been some changes to the bill. To the amendment, and I think there's some amendments that have been brought forward to Mr. Williams to have a change, because on the front page, I have it.
Hang on just a second. We have an amendment to the amendment that needs to be passed out.
Is this right?
Members, this is a Support Our Troops license plate that we heard in committee that would allow for a special fund to be set up to provide money to the families of active military personnel. And there was some concern about this would set a precedent and would allow for a whole range of license plates addressing a number of issues. So I asked the administration to please provide us with language that would tighten to the degree possible language on this bill to try and avoid the situation that we have seen in other states, where they end up with dozens of license plates from everything to the manatees, save the manatees, save the kids. I'm assuming in Minnesota we'd have save the loons, save the kids. So while certainly we recognize the value of this program to support our troops, we do have to be concerned with precedent. So would you like to adopt the A25 amendment to the A22 amendment at this time?
Yes. Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, we'll incorporate the A25 amendment into the A22 amendment. And are there any questions? Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak for or against the A22 amendment as amended? Representative Earhart.
Madam Chair, we did have this discussion previously, but as a veteran, I can tell you that if we want to do something for the veterans, let's appropriate some money rather than carry their advertising and expect them to, the people that do it, to pay for some extra or donate some extra. If we can't do the right thing by the veterans by doing it out of bonding or out of appropriations, I don't think that license plates should be for sale any more than perhaps the naming rights to the session chambers up there. So that's my feeling on it.
All right, thank you,
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to that point, Representative Earhart, we have a critical habitat plate that collects money right now for the environment through the state of Minnesota, and they disperse it as needed for the environmental needs in the state. And so it's similar to this, except that the purpose statement that we put on there has been revised, and it's for military families, military personnel and their families specifically for that, not to try and to deviate from that, but we're basically the governor is asking us to replicate this after the critical habitat plate that the DNR has right now that is being in place. So just to explain where we're coming from, and there is money that will be out to those families who I know, being in the military myself, there are members who have their families on welfare and basically on collecting food stamps to try and make it through while they're away serving our country. And so this is an added benefit that the governor sees as an important thing to help our military families, especially whether their personnel, whether male or female, are deployed overseas.
Madam Chair, do we have any idea what the expectations are from this?
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, I don't know if you would like to have Representative Severson speak to it. He was here just recently.
He's here. Representative Severson, can you provide information on the fiscal note? Representative Earhart, what you do need to know relative to this committee is all costs associated with preparing, designing, and issuing these plates will come out of the fund first. And so there will be no net costs to the state. Representative Severson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, and that's true. And to the initial question that Representative Earhart had on this is not for veterans. This is for active duty members who are deployed in conflict and for their families when they come into a very hardship. So these are not funds that are put together for a veterans issue. And I might add that this is in conjunction with private partnership where the funds are matched typically by a private sector with the funds that are coming through the license plate. The fiscal note, I don't have it along with me, but best of my recollection, the first in the first year of implementation is around $500,000, and then after that it's 1.3 to 1.5, I believe, and it continues to generate more revenue as it goes up. But the amount of money for producing the plate is taken out of the first year's income.
Representative Earhart, did that answer your question?
Madam Chair, I'm going to let this one just drop.
All right.
I think
Thank
it's
you.
Ridiculous.
Any additional comments?
And Madam Chair, just to the point of the clause that we have, the purpose, the legislative purpose we put on the front here is basically to preclude, just to say we are focusing this down for a very important purpose that we believe it's very important that we support our troops while they're deployed. We support their families, and this gives a lot of individuals the opportunity, whether they're in the military or not, to make a contribution to that purpose. Thank you, members.
Thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against the A22 amendment as amended? So if you'll step down to the table and state your name for the record, please. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Clint Bucher. I am the State Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars and the parent of two sons in the military, one in the Army National Guard, one in the United States Navy, and I have come in contact with many families who do not have the means, and there are no other avenues by which to obtain support. And this is a very worthwhile one that I would urge you to please support. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for coming down to the committee today. Sir, if you'll step to the table and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colonel Denny Shields, Assistant to the Adjutant General, Department of Military Affairs. I just want to make sure that the members of the committee understand the intent. There are really two facets here. One is to allow citizens at large to demonstrate their support to our men and women in the military. And the second is to allow them to provide some symbol of financial help. The provisions of Representative Severson's bill actually allow the Department of Military Affairs to pass the funds to a selected 501c3 nonprofit to actually administer the funds. And we have a couple of those nonprofits that are up and running right now that are supporting not only Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen, but Minnesota military personnel and their families in general. It's working well right now, but I will suggest to you all that certainly with respect to the Minnesota National Guard, we've not seen the last of the deployments. I certainly can't speak for the Federal Reserves here in Minnesota, but I suspect they're going to be in the same situation, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Colonel. Any questions for the Colonel? Seeing none. Sir, if you'll step to the table and state your name and provide brief testimony, please. Yeah. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Clark Tyra, the new Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. I would just like to point out that present in the audience, in addition to the commander of the VFW, are representatives from the American Legion, Military Order of the Purple Heart, the Minnesota Association of County Service Officers, the Disabled American Veterans, and they all are squarely behind this bill, in addition to our department. I just wanted to point that out for the record.
All right. Thank you so much, and we appreciate everybody's time that they came down here to support this effort. Representative Magnus.
Madam Chair, just a comment. I think the language in the amendment clarifies this, and we're in a unique situation today because we've got so many of our National Guard troops that are out fighting the fight. And we need to support those folks. It's different than when I went in, and possibly different when Representative Leader went in World War One or no, World War Two.
Oh,
when we were kids, and we didn't have a family at home, and we're asking National Guard folks to leave their jobs, leave their family. Let's support them.
Madam Chair,
Representative Earhart,
who pays the salaries of the National Guard? Could we provide them with some additional monies for them and their families rather than fiddle around with the handout here on a license plate? Maybe that's what we should be doing.
Thank you, Representative Earhart. Are there any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, Representative Anderson renews his motion that the A-22 amendment, as amended, be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. The next amendment is the JC-49 amendment. This is Representative Anderson's. I believe this is clarifying language for the plates that are already in the bill. Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, the way the bill it was placed into 2416, the way the 61, I'm sorry, the way it reads now, the language says that the Gulf War on Terrorism Expeditionary Medal would be given to anyone who served in the Iraq campaign or the Afghanistan campaign, because just in the last 2 to 3 weeks we received information from the Department of Veterans Affairs saying that there now is a new medal that has been placed in for the Iraq occupation, people who actually fought in Iraq and people who actually fought in Afghanistan. What I'm trying to do is be allowed to say that the medal, the sticker, will now be for an individual who serves in Iraq and Afghanistan, plus those who support those individual campaigns with the Global War on Terrorism Expeditionary. It's just clarifying language that basically now opens up to the sticker that would support all the members going overseas and fighting.
Representative Hausman.
Clarifying question, though. There were fiscal notes on all these, and every time you break this down more, does that just increase the complexity of the system?
Representative Hausman, all plates that are contained in our bill, all special plates, there is a surcharge or a cost to getting the plates. In the case of these types of plates, that will be charged until the cost of issuing the plates are satisfied. So in the case of the support our troops plates, because they're setting up a fund, the cost come off the top of the fund. And in the case of this particular language, there'll be, I believe, $5 surcharge on every plate until the costs are satisfied.
And, Madam Chair, the individual that brought me this language and the, he's actually a wounded veteran from the Iraq War. He and his people, who have now since come back, they want this so bad that they are willing to pay anything to have it. So they're very much in support of this, and the $5 surcharge just helps that much more.
Any additional questions on the JC49 amendment? Anybody in the audience like to speak for or against that amendment? Seeing none, Representative Anderson renews his motion that the JC49 amendment be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. We'll look at the JC50 amendment next. I'll be happy to move that. This, I believe, was a bill of Representative Olson's that lifts the cap on the number of specialty plates an individual can purchase. So for those individuals that have more than two cars, if they want a different specialty plate on each car, this would allow for that to happen. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak for or against the JC50 amendment? Any question by committee members? Seeing none, all those in favor of the JC50 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The JC50 amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A21 amendment. This is a bill of Representative Krenke's that we heard last week, I believe Thursday evening, in which Representative Krenke was putting forward language to address issues with transit and looking at the option of... I'm sorry, it's the A21 amendment. To address issues about putting... transit system infrastructure in the right-of-way or in the interior of highways, and working with the Center for Transportation Studies in order to accomplish that. Are there any questions on the A21 amendment? Representative Hausman.
But just that I wish right now my business community were here, because this would really frustrate them, because they really believe they have done all of this. They've done it for 10 years, and all of those decisions have been made, and so it's frustrating, because so much of this work has been done very intentionally, and... It feels as though it takes us back 10 years.
Representative Hausman, this specifically talks to freeway right-of-ways, and I don't know if you're talking
that's
that.
That's where we were 10 years ago.
Okay.
It's all been studied.
And I know that what we found with Representative Hornstein and myself when they did the BRT study in 35, they did dust off studies and information that they already had and did it for a very cost-effective of way. So did you want to speak for or against the A21 amendment?
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Todd Iverson, and I represent the University of Minnesota. Madam Chairman, in talking with the department, we have come to an agreement on how to fund this, and the way this is drafted, it would be taking money from what is essentially the base funding for CTS. If we were to delete, starting on line 3, using money set aside from under Minnesota statute section 161.53, and delete that piece, MnDOT has assured me that they have funding under where this is inserted to do that. So if we delete that piece of language, it falls under their infrastructure research and would come out of that fund rather than the base funding for CTS.
All right, thank you. And can I get somebody down from here from MnDOT to respond to that, please? Just make make sure everybody's on the same page here. Sir, if you'll state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Al Shankelberg, MnDOT Office of Investment Management. And I do agree that the changes in this particular amendment give us more leverage, particularly on the federal level, where we've got state research and planning funds that can be utilized for this type of study. Right. We support the study.
All right. Thank you, members. So what we'll do is on the A21 amendment, page 1, line 3, deletes the comma, using money set aside under Minnesota statutes. So all of line 4. Delete that. Mr. Williams, did I get that right? Okay. So, members, are there any questions on the oral amendments? I'll incorporate that into the A21 amendment. Are there any other comments or questions on the A21 amendment as amended? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The A21 amendment is amended. Thank you. Adopted. Thank you. Was that Magna?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep moving here, and we'll see where we get. I think for the next, we will go to the 8-8 amendment. And my understanding is that the 8-8 amendment was submitted by members of the DFL, and I'm not sure who's going to be offering the A8 amendment.
Madam Chair.
President Leader.
I'd like to move the H2461A8 amendment.
All right, Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, this is a portion of the bill that would delete that section dealing with the constitutional amendment for gasoline tax, not the motor vehicle X tax. Would delete the constitutional amendment requirement for passage of a gasoline tax.
And Representative Leader, if this amendment was adopted, then there would be no gas tax, no opportunity for a gas tax increase in the bill. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct. I believe this bill has got a long ways to go.
It certainly does. is there anybody that was any members that would like to speak for or against the A8 amendments? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against the A8 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A8 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Any of those opposed? No.
No.
No. The amendment is adopted. All right, members, the next amendment will be the A9 amendment.
Madam Chair, I'd move the A9 amendment.
Okay, Representative Larson moves the A9 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What this amendment would do is be a straight-up 5-cent increase in the gas tax, but would also include the legislation I introduced, or you heard in committee 2 days ago, that would also restore the hole that's currently there for Metro Transit and for Greater Minnesota Transit, taking those funds from highway funds that come from MVEST. And so this is an opportunity to increase to highway on transit, allows a short-term fix for transit. Of course, your bill allows for a longer-term fix for transit, but it gets us those needed gas tax revenues immediately.
All right. Thank you, members. So in brief, this amendment would raise the gas tax on June 1st, 2005, and then it would take additional MVEST dollars that are now currently going to roads, put those to transit because of the increase in the gas tax. Do you Can you tell me then what happens to the bonding levels under the PSA and MSA numbers? Will the numbers in those funds go up or down as a result of this?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's a good question. I'd like to get some advice from Mr. Walls on that. Can help out.
Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, Representative Larson, my reading of this amendment does not suggest any change to the amounts currently in the bill for bonds authorized to MnDOT, which I believe in the bill is $200 million in 06 and $200 million in 07. At some level, I believe MnDOT would have to move some money around that is currently being used for construction to pay for the gas tax that would be lost, be used to pay the debt service on the bonds issued that would be lost to transit at this point. But I think MnDOT would probably be better to speak to that issue.
All right. Representative Hausman, did you have your hand up?
Not until he's finished with that. Mine's a new issue.
All right.
Were you finished with that?
I think Mr. Walls was finished, but Mr. Gray is coming to a stand. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gray. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Kevin Gray, CFO with MnDOT. And could you recap the question or the issue here?
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, I think Representative Holberg's question was, how would my amendment impact the bonding in the bill? And what would MnDOT have to do to, if my amendment were enacted, what would you have to do to make it work?
I'm just looking, Madam Chair, I'm looking at the amendment now, and I believe that this calls for a gas tax increase of...
And Mr. Graves, I think I just wanted, I think Mr. Walls wants to interrupt, maybe.
Yeah.
He has additional information.
Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair, Representative Larson, Mr. Williams has just corrected me. The increased revenues from the gas tax in this amendment would be more than sufficient to pay for the transfer to the Met Council and to Rural Transit, as well as cover the debt service.
Mr. Williams.
Madam Chair, eventually, if this amendment is adopted, there would need to be a provision that would appropriate to the Department of Transportation, presumably for state roads, the equivalent of about the state share from about 3.1 cents of gas tax. The other 1.9 is about the equal to the money that would be lost to transit as a result of the transfer of MBEST funds. There would be no need to provide any appropriation of the additional revenues from this gas tax increase to the county and municipal state aid funds because of the boilerplate language that's already in the bill that would provide for automatic appropriation of those amounts.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Mr. Gray, did you have anything you'd like to add?
No. Madam Chair, I was just going to point out the same thing, that the gas tax here raises roughly $90 million versus the transfer to transit of $33 million.
Thank you. Are there any other comments on this amendment? Is there anybody else in the comments? Sorry, Representative Hausman.
Well, Madam Chair, I can't believe that no one's coming forward. We are raising the gas tax, and we are restoring the transit, the devastating transit cuts. This is our one opportunity. We've listened to years and years and years of incredibly challenging problems around the state, and we now are moving forward to do something about it. Raising the gas tax and fixing those horrible transit cuts that are going to raise fares and cut service. So I'm surprised.
Representative Hausman, maybe that everybody in the room wants to get done at 3 o'clock rather than come back at 6 o'clock tonight.
Despite the fact they've waited many years for this one opportunity.
Representative Hornstein.
Well, similarly, thank you.
Madam Chair. And similarly, I mean, this is our last chance to fix these cuts before this bill moves to the floor. So I think it's very critical to support Representative Larson's amendment. And I had heard from the Met Council that they had 900 individuals showed up at these various hearings that they had over the last week. And, you know, in a time when it's hard to get the public out for many things, to have 900 individuals show up and tell their stories and speak out against these cuts is very, very significant. And apparently they received over 3,000 individual written public comments. So this really speaks to how central this issue is. And finally, Madam Chair and members, we can't compromise local bus service in a time when we are making significant investments in transit corridors such as North Star, Cedar, the Northwest Busway, and some of the smaller amounts of money that we put into Central and Red Rock. And my back of the napkin says that we have, through the last bonding bill and then some of the earlier money that we put into Northwest Busway, we've put in over $60 million already into those corridors, and now we're taking away over $60 million from local bus service. So those corridors can't succeed unless we have successful local service. So this is very bad timing to make this kind of a cut, especially with the investments that we've made. So I hope that we can address this issue and bring a bill to the floor that reflects the many, many concerns and comments that Metro Transit has heard over the last couple of weeks, as well as acknowledge and match the investments that were made just a few weeks ago in the bonding bill. My real fear here is without a strong local bus service, we can't succeed with those other investments. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any additional comments? Representative Larson.
Well, Madam Chair, I would just further add to the debate that I don't want the discussion to be too focused too much on the fact that it's just fixing the transit problem. This amendment also adds about $165 million annually to the Trunk Highway Fund for roads, and this is a significant opportunity for us to support a, quite frankly, modest gas tax increase as the advocacy groups have looked at the needs and what is necessary for us to meet our obligations in terms of having a road system that will allow us to remain and grow as an economically viable region. This is a modest step in that direction, and so I would encourage everyone's support.
Representative Larson, I think that we have to let people know while the gas tax would raise $165 million approximately because you're shifting money, the net increase to roads would be less than that on a yearly basis.
Madam Chair, that's a good point, although what I would argue is that the shift is short-term. The 5-cent gas tax increase is in law for good, and we take a decent step toward funding our roads at a higher level for years into the future, but only make a short-term commitment to fund the whole in transit.
All right, thank you. Any additional questions on the A9 amendment? Representative Magnus.
And Madam Chair, that's my point exactly to my friends over there across the aisle, is you're taking Representative Larson said $165 million approximately to roads. It's not quite factual. With the amendment here, we're taking $33 million of that out for transit out of my roads, Representative, and my folks certainly support the issue of traffic congestion and transit needs here in the state, but we also have significant needs out in rural Minnesota, and I don't want you to be seen as neglecting the needs we have also.
President Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I truly don't want to start a regional war.
I don't either.
Here's the deal. All of this, roads and transit, will keep this metropolitan area economically viable, economically healthy. And I don't have to tell you once again the numbers. We're the economic engine. We generate the bulk of the taxes that get paid, and a whole bunch of that goes out to greater Minnesota. And I support that because I think I have a vested interest in your health as well. And I appreciate being able to share that wealth around the state equally. So this is not a regional issue. It is a statewide issue, an investment in transportation infrastructure. And this amendment does what absolutely everybody, including the business community, has now acknowledged, and that is whatever fix we put in front of the legislature should be a balanced package that recognizes transportation choices, and I would encourage everyone's support.
All right. Any additional comments? Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, to that point that we just saw in the paper today, yet another study predicting increased population growth, not only for the region but for the state, I think as high as 18% by 2030. And so we have to have an infrastructure to accommodate that growth. And people want to come to Minnesota. That's a great thing. Apparently they're not wanting to come to surrounding states as much. So this is really an investment for the future and for the, both the metro area transit infrastructure and greater Minnesota roads to accommodate this growth that now it seems everyone agrees is going to happen and is inevitable.
Madam Chair, in response to that, I'd point out in that very same article, the areas of the state that I represent, the South and the West, were lacking in the growth, Representative Hornstein, in that very article you quoted. And part of the reason I'm suggesting is because we don't have the infrastructure that we need either. So that's all I'm saying.
All right. Anybody in the audience wants to speak for or against the A9 amendment? Ms. Funyan, if you'll state your name for the record, please.
Sherry Munyon with the Minnesota Public Transit Association. Excuse me. Thank you for the time. Would like to urge committee members to please support this amendment. Without this amendment, we are facing severe cuts in transit, not just in the metro area, but in greater Minnesota as well. And knowing that our buses are on the road, we also support increased funding for road. In fact, this just holds transit harmless from cuts and it provides new money, additional monies for roads. So we would urge your support, please.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Munyon. Mr. Woffler, if you'll state your name for the record, please.
Yes, I'm Jim Woffler. I'm president of the Highway Construction Industry Council. The Highway Construction Industry Council endorses this amendment. We believe that any fix that comes that is going to begin to address the massive transportation problems we have is going to have both highway and transit components. As you've heard during this legislative session, just on our trunk highway system alone, we have an unmet need of $1,086,000,000 annually, going out as far as 2030. And it seems to me that one of the things that the Highway Construction Industry Council is has as an important ingredient element in evaluating transportation proposals is the immediacy of the fix that might be occurring. And a gas tax increase and making the a more balanced transit system, we feel, is an important step as we go forward through this process. And we, as one of the representatives has already said, we have a long way to go in this process, but I think this is a very good start. Thank you.
Mr. Woffler. Welcome to the committee. So state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Bonasik here representing the Metropolitan Intercounty Association, and to be very brief, because I'd like to see you be out of here by 3 o'clock, too. Our organization has long been on record supporting both an increase in the gas tax as well as increased funding for transit.
All right, thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Margaret Donahoe with the Minnesota Transportation Alliance. We also would like to echo our support for this amendment. We have always supported gas tax increase and believe that it's needed immediately, and would also like to see the transit problem that we're facing for the next biennium resolved. So we would also urge you to support this amendment.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Tennyson. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
Robert Tennyson, and I represent the I-35W Solutions Alliance, the Joint Powers Board. Our organization has long supported increase in gasoline tax and increased funding for transit. We want a balanced transportation system. This amendment is consistent with the position of the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Loverell.
Madam Chair, members, Carol Loverell with the Association of Counties. Counties have also always supported a gas tax and a balanced transportation funding package and recognize the need for increased funding for both highways and transit, and we urge your support.
Thank you, Mr. Loverell. Anybody else? Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joel Yule, and I'm from the National Multiple Sclerosis Society Minnesota chapter. We also are in support of this amendment. We know that the transit needs are very critical for people with disabilities. Some of the cuts that we have seen for proposed by the Met Council are very severe. We appreciate what the committee is trying to do and trying to hold the harmless people with disabilities with Metro Mobility, but there are also other people with disabilities who use Metro Transit frequently, and so what can be done to address those needs is also critical. Also for people in Greater Minnesota as well, we've seen a lot of challenges for people in Greater Minnesota for the past couple of years because the transit out in those areas has remained pretty stagnant for the past 4 or 5 years, and not a lot of increases in service. And that's meant that a lot of people with disabilities are not able to access service in the evenings and so on. So
thank you. And if all of you are lining up just to say you support the amendment, maybe we can make note of it. But we will not get done by 3 if you keep this parade up. So you guys choose. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Barb Stoneman. I work for Transit for Livable Communities, and I'm with a coalition of organizations that would support this amendment. The cuts to transit and the fare increases are going to be devastating. They will further reduce ridership in this region as it's been going down for the past 4 years, reduce ridership across the state. And I think we know from what the Texas Transportation Institute has told us over the last few years that transit is one of our best tools for dealing with congestion. The congestion relief benefit in the metro last year was estimated to be $180 million just in metro for congestion. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Welcome to the committee. Just state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, I'm Rob Vanasek with the Minnesota Association of Townships, and we're on record as supporting a reasonable increase in gas tax and recognize that a rising tide floats all boats, and we support this amendment.
Thank you very much for your brevity. Welcome to the committee. Just state your names for the record, please.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Ann Finn. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities, and I would also like to be on record on behalf of this organization as supporting the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, my name is Louis Jamboy with the Association of Metropolitan Municipalities, and we agree with everything that everyone else has said.
Thank you. Anybody else? All righty. Any additional comments on the A9 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Nay. The amendment is not adopted. Next amendment that we will consider will be the A11 amendment by Representative Earhart.
Madam Chair and members, this is brought forth on behalf of the Metropolitan Council, who believes that the language is no longer necessary in statute. At one time, there were different fares offered by statute or by some other method for such thing as off-peak hours and for seniors and so forth. Those incentives are no longer being offered, so the Met Council would like to control their own definition of off-peak and what services times are indicated. So that's the essence of putting the Met Council in the position of deciding their flow of passenger hour times.
All right. Are there any questions on the A11 amendments? Is anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against the A11 amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A11 amendment say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The A11 amendment is adopted. The next item is the A14 amendment. I believe this is Representative Hornstein's amendment.
Madam Chair, at this time, I'd like to withdraw the amendment. We haven't had, I think, sufficient discussion, and I will talk to you about it in the coming days.
All right. Thank you. Then we have the A17 amendment. Somebody would like to claim that one?
Oh, Madam Chair, same with that one.
See,
I'm moving along.
I know, you are good.
A-17
amendment has been withdrawn. Suppose we could try some of these other ones. How about the A-3 amendment? Does anybody want to claim that one?
Madam Chair, we've just concluded that debate. I'll withdraw that.
Thank you. The A-4 amendment? I guess the A4 was replaced by the JC50, so we can put that in our completed file. All right, we have an A-12 amendment, and this is a DPS amendment. Were there any members of the committee that were asked to carry this amendment? All right, I will move the A-12 amendment and ask the DPS to come down and explain the amendment. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, I don't have a copy of that amendment, so if we have one.
We're a little bit perplexed on this. We know that on the back side it has to do with the report on the insurance compliance program, and we talked to Representative Severson, and he wasn't aware of this change, and so we're not sure with the items in this amendment what the intent is.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Pat McCormick, Director of Driver and Vehicle Services, and this amendment has several provisions in it that we suggested would be needed within the bill. The first one deals with the personalized special veterans plates, and so I'll let Mr. Evans discuss the reason that we asked for that change.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Evans. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
My name is Tom Evans. I'm the supervisor for the special plate unit. The personalized veterans plates amendment here. In order to accommodate a personalized veteran plate, two spaces out of the seven would be lost for the medal. So personalized veteran plates would be limited to five characters.
All right.
Madam Chair, the second part of that amendment has to deal with the commercial driver's license bill that is incorporated in this bill, and the change is to clarify the fact that anybody driving a commercial vehicle, whether they have a commercial driver's license or not, would be affected by those violations could not be masked. And so this is just to make sure that any violations of anyone driving a commercial vehicle, whether or not they have a commercial vehicle driver's license or not, would be affected by that, and no violations could be masked on their record.
All right.
Madam Chair, the third provision.
Mr. Williams.
Madam Chair, there's a typo that needs to be corrected in the amendment, page 1, line 5. It should read page 128 rather than 127.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. We'll incorporate that.
Madam Chair, the third part has to do with starting on line 10, has to do with the insurance verification bill that Representative Severson has brought before the committee previously. And we asked for those changes because an amendment was added on to that bill that would require that the department reimburse anyone that's paid a reinstatement fee. We have some funding that we have already been allocated during this fiscal year to operate that program, and so we're asking for is that funding be carried over so that we're able to use that funding to reimburse the people that we would need to if this bill was passed and enacted into law. The second part has to do with the report and the program that would be carried forward after the department stopped implementing the current random insurance sample program. The department wants to ensure that we have a program in place that does not sample drivers. We believe that we need to do verification of insurance, but the department does not support trying to implement a variation of the random sample program because it certainly has not been successful in terms of its implementation. So we have changed the language so we could talk instead about working on an insurance verification program and not a random sample program. and that's what this does. And I think Representative Severson, we did have a discussion with him, but he did not know that, he may not have known that we were asking that it be in this bill.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the testifiers? Seeing none, is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak for or against the A-12 amendment? Seeing none, I'll renew the approval of the A-12 amendment as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A-12 amendment is adopted. Next is the A-18 amendment. I believe Representative Larson was going to offer. Oh, he stepped out. Oh, you're here. Okay.
Move the A-18 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Larson, if you'd like to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A-18 amendment instructs MnDOT to place directional signs for the Northwestern Health Sciences University, both on 494 and 35W, to assist with directing the public to its campus, and that's located at 84th and 10th Avenue in Bloomington. And I'd appreciate your support.
All right. Are there any questions on the A-18 amendment? Representative Leader.
Madam Chair, I have some problems with this additional signing. I think we're getting a proliferation of signs, especially we're getting in the metro area now. I can't imagine anybody that's not a student at the chiropractic center that wants to get there other than a relative, and I don't think they'd know how. And I think we're really kind of getting a little bit far-fetched again when we start putting signs on the interstate within the metro area.
All right, thank you. It looks like Ms. Parker is approaching the table. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Betsy Parker from the Department of Transportation. The department does have some concerns about this because of the number of organizations and institutions that want signs. We do have standards for deciding how to grant these sign requests. This school did request signs from the department. Our guidelines specify that in the metro area, because of the number of requests we get, we require that they have 1,500 full-time students, and they apparently have about 800 students. And after the department denied the request, we referred it to our appeal process, which is a group composed of people outside the department, an external sign variance committee. They also denied the request. After that, we did an engineering analysis anyway and determined that at three of the locations where signs were requested under federal guidelines for spacing signs on freeways, there is no location to erect these signs. So that if we have to put them up, we'll have to take down other signs, other directional signs, or find out if we can combine them. It would require the school to assume the cost of moving any other sign that's required to erect one for them as well.
And Ms. Parker, if you say that according to federal spacing guidelines, you can have only so many signs within so many feet, I'm assuming. And so what, do you know what other types of signs in the area would have to be taken down in order to accommodate this sign?
Madam Chair, I don't have a map with me that shows all the signs that are erected there, but every exit is signed. I'm not sure about whether Southdale Mall is signed or what else in the area is signed.
All right. Representative Larson, did you have a comment?
Just a comment, Madam Chair, that that the language, as I understand it was drafted, would require the Health Sciences University to bear the cost of this legislation, the entire cost, so that there would be no economic impact on that or fiscal cost.
And Representative Larson, I think that's a good thing. I haven't heard this taking down some signs to accommodate this one, and I don't know what signs would go down in order to accommodate this sign, so I'm concerned about that part of it. Ms. Campbell, I know that this is your initiative, but I wasn't aware of the taking down a sign to accommodate this, so I'm a little perplexed.
Madam Chair, Marianne Campbell, Minnesota Chiropractic Association. I am too, but I just heard Ms. Parker say, or combine signs and that the university would bear the cost. I am certain that we can work something out in a combination of signs. It is an area I am familiar with, and the reason that we come to you today is because of the uniqueness of our university. We are the only chiropractic university in the state, and in fact, there are only 33 in the United States of America. And we, while we don't fit the student status, I would also address this to Representative Leader, that we have continuing education of over 1,200 doctors, and we also have people that come for treatment to our students. So the people aren't just the students trying to find us. It is the all the doctors, and it is people coming for chiropractic, massage therapy, acupuncture treatment. And we would be very happy to work with the department on how to do this, to combine signage, to make it feasible. And we are absolutely willing to pay for the costs.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Leader.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to comment again. While this is one institute, we've got a lot of business colleges. We've got art institutes. I think we still have a Brown Institute, which is radio announcers. I think we're really opening a door pretty wide for cluttering our interstates with signs that really don't affect the traveling public.
All right, thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Anybody else in the audience like to speak to the 18 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Next item on the agenda is the 820 amendment. Representative Anderson. The 820 amendment is not a bill that we've heard before, and so it would be nice to have Representative Anderson in the room. Okay, members, you were passed out an A100-1 amendment that has some new language. It hopefully addresses the concerns of the department. If Ms. McCormick would like to weigh in on the A100-1 amendment, see if we have this issue resolved. And Representative Anderson, we're going to go to the A20 amendment following the A100-1 amendment. Ms. McCormick.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Mr. Evans worked with Representative Anderson's constituent, and I think we have an agreeable way to meet the needs that Representative Anderson was trying to in this amendment. I'll let Mr. Evans explain it.
Mr. Evans.
Thank you, Madam Chair, representatives. I met with the constituent, and he suggested that we put into language, as he did when he testified, that the person requesting the plate in this situation would get a statement from the manufacturer that there were indeed less than 500 of these vehicles either manufactured or imported. That way our office wouldn't have to keep a separate record to determine which vehicles would meet this criteria, as it just seems there would be very few of them.
All right. Members, are there any questions on the A100-1 amendment? Okay, Representative Anderson renews his motion that the A100-1 amendment be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A100-1 amendment is adopted. Representative Anderson moves the A20 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A20 amendment is a language that we heard last year in transportation finance, and it deals with a novice driver safety education program, and the bill is basically neutral as far as finances. It's a provisional license that will be given to novice drivers that go through the course and study, and they will be issued, there will be a card issued to the parents. The bottom of page one, the top of page two, there's a waiver card that will be issued to the parents or guardian of a provisional license holder, so that for those individuals that are of age that need to be out past the hour of 12 midnight and 5 a.m. in the morning, this card will be available to the guardian or the parent of that person, and they will have to have that on them to be able to provide that. There's also provision in the language to pay for the card. There's $8 fee in there, and then there's an initial instruction permit that's increased by $9. $8 of that goes to pay for the card and the other dollar goes to the general fund. And, Madam Chair, appreciate your support. Where's the Madam Chair?
Any Representative Hornstein.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representatives, is this the bill that, or is this language similar to the bill that Representative Rhodes had last year,
yes.
I believe?
Similar to that, except there are no fees in there. Like the one last year, we've taken out all the fees that were being brought forward in the bill. That's been all been taken out of the bill, except for the fee for the card itself and the provisional license.
Representative Hornstein.
And Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, so what... So his original bill was passed, but in a very some of this language was taken out. Or what was the fate of that? I just don't remember. Was it actually signed into law? Or
Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, the fate of his bill—it's not the exact same language as this here. That bill came to the House floor and was defeated.
Okay. Well,
President Hornstein.
Madam Chair, this is good language. I support it, and you know, I hope we can make our roads safer and our kids safer.
Yes. Thank you, Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Anderson, didn't I ask you about fees in here and the fund? Now I turn to the last page and I find them. I thought, was that a different bill we were talking about?
Well, Madam Anderson.
What happens to the fees? What's that all about?
President Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. President Earhart, the instructional fee, the $9 is for the instructional permit, and the additional, out of that, the $8 is there to pay for the card itself, and the extra dollar goes into the general fund. If there's any money that goes over the $500,000 threshold or a limit there, the extra is divided up, credited to driver service operating account, and a 10% to the general fund of that over $500. But there's actually a $1 fee that comes off that goes into the general fund right away.
Well, Madam Chair,
Representative Hart.
Representative Anderson, who gives the instructions? There was some controversy over who is going to be training these beginning drivers, and it was at the time somebody was creating a fund so that they could be paid for instructions. Now, I don't know if I'm reading that in here now or not, but I know that was a long discussion, and as it turned out, I asked AAA to a representative to get in touch with you and see if we couldn't work things out. I never apparently she was unable to do that, and I said we'd give you a hearing when the time came, and now we come to an amendment without really a lot of thought or talk about this.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have with me Mr. John Palmer, who would like to speak to the amendment regarding your question, Representative Earhart, on the education. But there is on the bottom of page 3, it talks about being enrolled in a concurrent driver education program, which utilizes behind-the-wheel training and 15 hours per classroom. But I'll let Mr. Palmer speak more clearly to your question, Representative Earhart.
Welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record, please.
My name is John Palmer, and I'm with the Minnesota Driver and Traffic Safety Education Association. I'm also the editor of the Chronicle of the American Driver and Traffic Safety Education Association. I don't like to correct my author and my good friend, but he did misspeak in one respect. There are actually two fees that are involved in this bill. One fee pays for the cost of the waiver card that the parents request. The other is an increase in the learner's permit that would be used to create a fund that would improve novice driver education curriculum and also training of novice driver education instructors. There's no limitation as to who the vendor of choice would be that would benefit from the improved curriculum or the instruction. The program that is created is modeled after one that has existed in the state for almost 30 years for motorcycle safety rider education. And the language in the amendment gives the authority to manage the program to the Commissioner of Public Safety. So the decisions, Representative Earhart, with regard to how these funds would be used would be made by the Commissioner of Public Safety.
Madam Chair, is there anybody from AAA in the audience that can talk about this?
Is there anybody that would like to testify on the A20 amendment from AAA?
Seeing no one, Madam Chair, I'll ask another question. Is there anything that restricts the goes around or does anything to the existing driver's training programs that are in the schools? I mean, are we now going to another entity besides where there are successful programs in the schools, public schools?
Representative Anderson.
Madam Chairman.
Sir, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, I'd like to just have the testifier answer that question for you.
Mr. Palmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill does not affect the rules for the approval of driver education, nor does it change in any way the choices parents and guardians make about where their children receive their driver education.
Madam Chair and the witness, is there money that could flow to the public schools for their programs, would that also be permissible?
There is no language that would allow the flowing of funds directly to public schools, nor is there language to allow the flowing of funds to a private school. The money goes to the Commissioner of Public Safety for the purpose stated in the preamble to the amendment.
Representative Anderson, in looking at this amendment, when we talked about this, we talked about just collecting revenue to pay for the fee, and it appears that there's additional money and an education fund, and when we talked about this, I may have misunderstood what your intent was, but on page 3, mm-hmm. I don't know how to gracefully fix this so that there is only the cost to issue the provisional license the restriction waiver card without raising additional money. And so I'm going to oppose this amendment if you continue to move it with all the additional money and the safety programs and everything.
So, Madam Chair, if the part there of subdivision 2A in that area, is that what your concern is, Madam Chair, the fee for the instructional permit and the dollars that and the crediting of the driver services operating fund and so forth?
Well, Representative Anderson, you're the author of this amendment and you're going to have to decide what your intent is, but I'm just sharing with you that I thought what we were moving today was the opportunity to have that provisional license restriction mm-hmm. waiver card
mm-hmm.
with the provisional license restriction,
yes.
and that we weren't going to deal with additional fees and money for new programs to be set up. And so if there's some way, if that's what your intent was as well, and there's a way to fix this amendment so that it just addresses that issue, I would suggest that that might be a good option to pursue at this time.
Well, Madam Chair, if you'd allow to have it held over, I can work to get that resolved.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
The 820 amendment is laid on the table. Members, you should have received the A26 amendment just recently passed out. Do you have that amendment? Okay, members, that the A26 amendment, I will move that amendment, and it's some clarifying language for the modifications to the CASA formula distribution. And the pink sheet that you have handed out in legal size is the initial runs that we got that address the CASA formula distribution. And in basic terms, as we explained before, this would try and reduce the range of disparity in the percentage of needs that are being funded with the CASA formula. And so this would make it clear that we would first determine the statewide average money needs for all counties. and so that we would take the amount of money that we have to distribute up against the total needs and figure out what percentage of total needs could be funded. And if you look at your pink sheets, you can see on the far right-hand column on the second page that in this run there was enough money to fund 63% of needs. Then what you do is you find out the average appropriation for counties from 01 to 05 to set the floor for all counties, and that would be reflected in the first column on the pink sheets in the five-year average allocation. No county can receive less than that, and that happens first before we begin to address what percentage of needs are funded. And so moving forward, and we'll get runs for you running through the year 2010 based on the bill, but so it clarifies that that minimum threshold is first met, and then any excess revenues are then distributed to those counties that aren't at what in this case is what would be the 53 percentile level, because we had enough, we had 63% of the money available to meet the needs. And so no county, the goal is that no county would receive less than 53% of their needs. And my understanding in this run, that is the case, but that the numbers reflected in the fourth column over also include the maintenance element to this, and we don't touch the maintenance portion of the formula, only that portion which is the construction needs. So the A26 amendment attempts to clarify the priority and how we order this adjustment to the formula. And Mr. Williams says there's a technical correction to the A26 amendment.
Madam Chair, page 1, after line 1, it would read, delete page 87, lines 27 to 33, and insert. And on page 1, line 15, in order to fulfill the intent of the amendment, after, on line 15, after 2, insert at least 90% of. After the second two, insert at least 90% of.
Members, would you like that repeated, or do you have it? Okay, Mr. Williams, can you give us the delete page 87 and then the line?
It's page, after line 1 of the amendment, insert, delete page 87, lines 27 to 33, and insert.
Okay, members, are there any questions about the oral amendment, which I'll incorporate into the A26 amendment? Excuse me, are there any questions on the A26 amendment as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The A26 amendment is adopted. Members, we will not be considering the D56 or D57 amendments. And is anybody aware of any additional amendments other than the A20, which we've laid on the table, that need to be addressed? All right, I have received a notice. Well, we're waiting for Representative Anderson to... are you ready? Okay, we'll take the A20 amendment off the table. Representative Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, I talked with Mr. Williams about this and looking over the language, and went and talked with the gentleman out in the hallway just to get some update. On page 1, we would delete basically lines 3 through 21. All that language there would be gone, and we leave the bottom part, page line 22, 23, 24, because that talks about the provisional license restriction waiver card, which is what my intent was to try and get that waiver card to the parents and the guardians for the person who's going to be doing the novice driver's license. Then on the rest of the, page 2 is okay. On page 3, the last one, line 7 through 19 would be deleted. And according to Mr. Williams, the rest of it would be according to Hoyle. Mr. Williams has a question or comment.
Just a just for technical purposes, I think that rather than put language on the waiver card account into Chapter 121A, which relates to education, that same language probably should be deleted from what would be Section 3 in the amendment, and instead added on page 3, line 26, after the period, so that the open and standing appropriation language for the account that receives the money from the fee for this card would be added to the language that deposits the money in that account. So the amendment, therefore, would be to delete the first deletion would go from page 1, line 2, to page 2, line 2, and then on page 3, line 26, after the period, insert the language on page 1, line 22, to page 2, line 2.
And Mr. Williams, can you provide that in written form to Ms. Vaught at a later time, just so that she has all of those for her records? Are there any questions on those amendments?
Madam Chair, that gets rid of the fees and any new accounts that would be established there, and the provisional license restriction waiver card, as spoken to on top page 3, would be intact. Mr. Williams? Right, and the fee for the card would remain also to take care of the cost of the card.
So DVS would be kept whole?
Yes.
On that. Are there any questions on the A20 as amended? Representative Anderson renews his motion that the A20 amendment as amended be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Thank you, Representative Anderson.
Thank you.
I have received a note that Mr. Krogman wants to speak to the committee on the A23 amendment. That was an amendment of Representative Abrams regarding gas prices. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Krogman.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. My name is Bob Krogman. I'm with the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association. We're a trade association of family-owned businesses and farmer cooperative oil companies from all over the state. We have about 800 members. As a group, they own and operate 1,700 to 2,000 service stations. We are very opposed to the amendment that I understand was passed. The below-cost selling law is referred to is really that. It prohibits predatory pricing. It says the big box retailers, the largest companies in the world, cannot sell gasoline at less than we pay for it, plus our freight, plus our credit card fees. That is the total formula. It is not a minimum markup law that says we mark it up 15-18% or cents. We mark it up, that law, 8 cents. Our freight is about 3 cents. Our credit card fees are 3% of the purchase price. Right now, that's 6 cents. Our cost is the average rack price. When we go to the terminal, the loading truck loading rack, we are quoted a price that changes daily from the major oil companies. 90% of the service stations, convenience stores in Minnesota are owned and operated by family businesses or farmer cooperatives. If we have a large retailer price at below cost for 2 or 3 months, it will effectively eliminate much of the competition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, my name is Andrew Kozak, and I represent the Minnesota Service Station Association, and I believe we have about 400 members. All retailers, and like Mr. Krogman, virtually all of them are family-owned small businesses. We too support the retention of the law that the amendment has just repealed. And I can only underscore what he says, that the experience that people have had in other states when the large retailers, the Walmarts, the Costcos, into business, it does not take but a matter of a few months before they are effectively driven out of business. Now, of course, the free market, the way it works, people say, well, if some competitors leave the marketplace, others will take their place, because if the large retailers jack up the prices too far. The problem with that is free markets work best when there's ease of entry into the market. That's not the case with gasoline, and we know full well that to outfit, to capitalize a new operation today is something like $2 million, would cost about $2 million, not to mention all the regulatory problems, zoning, and so on. So all we can ask is that the committee perhaps reconsider the amendment which repealed the law which was passed 4 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments for the testifiers?
Madam Chair, we reconsider Amendment A23.
All right.
For votes. I do have some comments also.
And did you want to give those comments before or after we vote on your motion to reconsider?
Well, let's vote on it and see what happens. I can give some comments early before, Madam Chair. And really, I served on the Board of Directors of a petroleum company, a farmer cooperative company, for probably 20 years. And I can tell you from firsthand what we're, the intent here, you know, the idea is good, support the idea of lowering the price for consumers, but I'm afraid in most areas of the state that's not what will happen. In fact, I'm very afraid that it would do just the opposite of that. As the testifiers have said, you have companies and operations that have the ability, whether they have the grocery store out in front, whether it's a Hy-Vee, or whether it's a big box retailer like Walmart, have the ability to offer a lower price for gasoline to get people in the door and load up with a lot of products and enable them to reduce the price of gasoline until they knock out the competition. And why would they reduce the price when they're the only one left? And that's the point I would make, is in the long term, I'm afraid you won't accomplish what you're trying to do with the bill. You would take the family owners out, the small businesses out of the petroleum business, and put it into to select few of retailers in our area in rural Minnesota. Basically, you'd be looking at regional centers where the folks go in and visit the Walmarts, the Hy-Vees, Shopcos. They'll put the gas stations in El Prado. The folks will go in there and load up, and there'll be nothing left for the rest of us in rural Minnesota. Then we'll have to put more transit in, like Representative Hornston would like to do.
Madam Chair.
Representative Abrams.
Madam Chair, I would speak against Representative Magnus's motion. It is almost incomprehensible, given all of the products that are being sold, that we're saying that one has to be sold at a certain price. You can literally go down all of life's necessities and we have competition. We have competition on clothes. We have competition on all food items but milk, for whatever reason. We don't have competition on cigarettes, and I have tried to repeal the Unfair Cigarette Sales Act, and absent that, I got it transferred out of the Department of Revenue when I was chair of the Tax Committee, simply because I didn't want to hear about retail price maintenance anymore, and that's basically what it is. And once you go down that slope, I believe that you're in trouble. And as I said earlier, there are two things that the legislature can do dealing with the price that our consumers who are struggling over struggling with high gas prices can do. Now, one deals with the gas tax, and I don't see much of an appetite to lower the gas tax on this committee. I think that we all voted for a gas tax increase in one form or another earlier today. The second thing is to allow the free market to operate and have people compete for our business based upon price. If price wasn't important, why do they have the big sign up saying what the price is? And now when you go buy them, they're all identical. There's no competition on price. And I guess I hear what you're saying about some of the competition, Representative Magnus. But at least for where I sit and the people I talk to, They want relief from high gas prices, and this is something the legislature can do about it.
From Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, I support the motion made by Representative Magnus, because I just asked to step out of the room here and was confronted with a friend of mine and a friend of members on this committee and friend of we all know the gentleman, but I'm not going to mention names, but he is going to be unduly put upon by this not having this bill in law, because he does provide a service to his constituents by providing gas. But this here, I guess Representative Magnus has already said, will, by not having in law, will allow the large purveyors of services or goods like the Walmarts and the Costcos and others, who it was mentioned by testimony, that they will drive these people out of business. And I think Representative Leader brought it to our attention earlier when we were talking about this, about the reason that the language was in the bill passed here a couple years ago or so, was because of a situation in Alexandria and a Walmart up there that was going to put upon local services there. So had I not had the privilege of having that information given to me after the fact, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't be here supporting this, but I see what it could do and how it could harm. So I support the motion made by Representative Magnus.
Thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Representative Leader.
Madam Chair, what's the motion to allow him to bring it?
Reconsider the A23 amendment. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
No.
No. The motion is not adopted. Members, unless we have additional amendments to come before the committee. No more amendments? Okay. We then have House File 2461 as amended in front of the committee. The motion will be for approval and to be referred to the Committee on Taxes, which I'm told should happen sometime next week. Are there any additional comments on the bill? Representative Hornstein.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to thank you for all of your work this year and how you've run the committee. I thought it was very effective, efficient, and as a member of the minority, I felt always included and consulted. You heard our bills, and I wanted to thank you, and I appreciate that. But as for the bill,
there's the butt after there.
just very quickly, Madam Chair, I think this is a missed opportunity for us to address both our vast road and transit needs in the state. We had, I think, over the months a lot of testimony that there was a real gap between what we're willing to spend and what the need is. And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of that gap is still in this bill. We've talked extensively about the transit issue, so I don't want to get into that again. But I hope, members, that once this bill hits the floor, that we'll be able to make some important changes and additions, particularly on the gas tax question and the other aspects of Representative Larson's amendment today. So, Madam Chair, I vote no, and I hope that we can, move forward in terms of addressing the real needs that the state has. This bill falls short on that.
Thank you. Any additional comments? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I would like to join Representative Hornstein. He had early called me Rabbi. I think he was trying to provide me some grace at that moment since I had that early outburst. But, Madam Chair, I would sincerely thank you for the process that we've enjoyed this year. Also, as a member of the minority, you have been inclusive in your process and worked with us on many, many issues, and I do appreciate that. I do think that, quite frankly, this committee is in a difficult spot given the budget target that the committee received, and that, I think, constrained us a fair amount. I'm encouraged by some of the things in the bill, the efforts that you've put forth as it relates to how we distribute highway dollars. I know that there's some interest there, and I appreciate your work there. I think that there's also, given the fact that you had to increase some dollars for that, I appreciate that as well. Obviously, I'm concerned very, very much about the transit
funding, and I have expressed that, and both with words and amendments, and it's my hope that, and I'm going to vote to move this bill along, because I think this bill ultimately will be one of the omnibus bills that's a work in progress, and I hope that's the case, that as we go through, we continue to have the debate about an increased funding for our entire transportation system, and ultimately on the floor of the House, we can have a thorough debate and find out whether or not this House of Representatives does in fact support more money for transportation or not. And I think that will happen in a bipartisan way, and perhaps sometimes geographic ways. But I again appreciate the process that we've had, and there are no easy solutions to the problems that we face. This has been a good experience this year with you and all the members of the committee, and I've appreciated being included.
Thank you. Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I too want to thank you for leading us through in a quick and efficient manner. That was really great. I do have to express my disappointment in that we did as a committee choose to strip the constitutional amendment, because I too am hoping that we can have money for transit as well as for roads. And this, as we know, is the, I think we had an opportunity for gas tax here, because we know that this is the option that the governor has approved. So it was an opportunity for us, but I know that this is just the first journey.
Thank you. Representative Hausman.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to speak a bit to our partnership that we have with all the people around the room and not around this table who work through this particular issue with us. And over the years, we have seen so many of them up there tell incredible stories of needs around the state. And everyone does understand that the value and importance of that transportation infrastructure to the economic health of our state. I put them on the spot a little bit today, and they came forward again, but did it in shorthand, so we stayed on our schedule. But I think what it showed was we're not in this alone. This is something we share with people who work very hard around the state, and they often more keenly feel the outcomes of our policy decision, policy and finance decisions. And so in the days and weeks ahead, I think that kind of partnership will be strengthened. We can't do it without them, and they can't do it without us. And I think I felt that today.
Thank you. Any additional comments? All right, I will renew my motion that House File 2461, as amended, be recommended to pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion's adopted. Members, a couple things. First of all, we have to thank Rick Jonas from MnDOT, who worked on the state aid formula with me. He worked over the weekend. He's supposed to be here. Must be hiding somewhere. Snuck out to go take a nap after we kept him busy all these days, but... he went above and beyond a call of duty, and I'm grateful for that. Also, we have a new committee administrator. Ms. Gervin has been promoted, maybe, if you want to call it that, to constituent services, and will be leading the committee, and Jeremy, sitting here to her left, will be the new committee administrator and will help move the omnibus bill through the process. It's Jeremy Estenson. He's a CLA for taxes with Representative Krenke, and there'll be a slight transition time here, but welcome to the committee. We're glad that you're here, and any of you that would like to join me in taxes next week when this bill goes to taxes, I may need the moral support. With that, the meeting's adjourned.